Jeremiah, if you have your Bibles, or to listen along as we read out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. I think the background of this story is not at all part of the sermon, for the most part, just a smidgen, but the story's fascinating to me, and it's an important story in the background, and just a real important lesson. Israel had forsaken the Lord. And then God was going to send them punishment a little bit, and they didn't accept the punishment God gave them. So God increased the punishment and sent them away into captivity. And a lot of their people were carried as slaves over to Babylon. And in Jeremiah 29, God says to them, he says, you're going to be there 70 years. That's what I've decided you deserve. You're going to be punished there. So go ahead and make yourselves at home there. Get married, have kids, build a house. You're going to be there 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, I'm going to send some wonderful leaders. They're going to take you back to Israel, and things are going to be fine. But don't rebel against this, what I've ordained for you. Take your comeuppance, is in the Hebrew. And so just take it. And that's a context here. And let's go ahead and join with. And that's what he says in verse 1 through 10. Let's go ahead. And the false prophets are saying, no, keep rebelling, keep fighting. You're not supposed to go there. And verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. And he's talking about Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. First thing I want to say right there, God is talking to people under judgment, and notice he says, I know the thoughts I'm thinking towards you, and they're thoughts of peace. He says, I'm for you. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then he says, and it'll be sermon tonight, is to give you an expected end, and we'll get back to that. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and shall find me, when ye shall search me with all your heart. And I'll be found of you, and I'll turn away your captivity and take you back to Jerusalem. So that's what he says there. And understand this. All you good parents will know what I'm talking about here, and that's, I think, everybody in this room who's a parent. When you have to punish your children, it is not for evil, and because it should never be because you're angry and can't stand them and hate their guts. You want to punish them. Matter of fact, I'm an older parent. If you have kids 18 years apart, some of them are going to be when you're older. As you get older, you get softer. And that's why, you ever seen Grandpa's Pillow? It's a stick with a pillow on the end of it. Grandpa's Spanker. It's a stick with a pillow on the end of it. And so as you get older, you get softer. And that's why grandparents are usually terrible parents, because they're just so soft and they just won't do anything. As I get older, I get softer and softer. I hate spanking my kids. But when I do it, it's not because I hate their guts, I'm mad at them, and I want bad things for them. It's thoughts of peace, and you need to learn this. And it's for their good. And understand, God is not this mean, nasty God up in heaven who can't wait to, apply Murphy's Law to every area of your life and laugh while you're miserable. And that's not God. There's a lot of other factors, including the devil and the flesh and your bad decisions and punishments you deserve. And there's a thousand things going on. The Bible describes all these things. When I was a young preacher, I used to try to preach why bad things happen. And I realized that's a series, not a sermon. And there's so many things in the Bible. And so when you realize God does not want bad for you, but he says, if you will do what I say and just hunker down, accept the punishment, I have good thoughts towards you, and I want to bring you back and give you an expected end, which is a good end. Yeah. I want to give you an expected end. And then you're going to call upon me, verse 12. I'm going to answer your prayers. You're going to find me. I'm going to be found of you. I'm going to get rid of your captivity. I'm going to take you back to Jerusalem. You're going to rebuild the walls. You don't even know this guy. There's a guy named Nehemiah. There's a guy named Ezra. They're not even born yet. But I know all that stuff. And I am for you, as Ezekiel says, in the same time of judgment. Behold, I am for you. Not to lessen that God will judge sin and punish you. He will. but he's for you. He doesn't want to do it. And with Israel, he didn't even want to send them to captivity. He tried to just let them get beat up for a minute by those nations in Israel and just get beat up and have to pay tribute and just suffer a little bit. But they kept on rebelling against the punishment of God and fighting against God's light punishment, and so it got worse. Now, to the expected end. The expected end is a fascinating word. I looked it up in Hebrew, and the word means a cord as an attachment. A cord as an attachment. What it means is like you hook a bungee cord to something, or you hook a rope to something. You ever watch an animal that doesn't know how long its rope is? Da-da-da. That's an attachment to you. That's a cord. That's an expected end. This is where it's going to take you, and now you've got something hooked to you, and you'll be given a cord as an attachment. In other words, this expected end is if I had a rope hooked onto me and I dragged it and I get over here and guess what? It's coming up behind me and it's an expected end. All of a sudden, bump. Whoa, what is that? Oh, that's my expected end. That's what was supposed to happen. That's what's attached to me in my actions. That's what's coming along with me. That's what I'm going to meet. So I have an expected end. And I want to say this about you. You right now have a bunch of expected ends. God says, I'm going to give you an expected end. It's my thoughts of peace towards you. It's my love. It's my good things. If you will do what I say and just accept your captivity in Babylon, I'm going to give you the end that is expected, which is I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to return you to Jerusalem. I'm going to bless you. You, if you will do what I say and accept this, you'll drag this thing along and go through this. And all of a sudden you'll get there and you'll say, okay, I'm over here. Bump. Wow, look, we're going back to Jerusalem. That's the expected end with their actions of accepting the judgment of God. And then they're going to be going back to Jerusalem. The cord that is attached to them, their expected end, is simply, you're going to go back to Jerusalem. I'll answer your prayers. You'll be found of me. I'll be found of you when you seek me. And then I'm going to take away your captivity and take you back to freedom. And so that's your expected end if you'll do this. The whole sermon is an expected end. What expected ends do you want to give yourself? Because you are going to give yourself expected ends. And the Bible gives you a whole bunch of formulas and tells you, if you do this, this is going to happen. This is your expected end. It's all over the Bible. There's a bunch of different places that's in there. A lot of life is about expectations. I want you to understand that. They needed to expect they're going to go through punishment and also be blessed at the end. But you'll find in life, expectations are everything. When I think we had snow this week, one of those rare occasions. Did you ever, when you were a kid, think you're gonna have a snow day? It's snowing. All right, there's gonna be no school today. And then you listen to the radio and they say your school district is delayed 2 hours. Oh good, I get to go to school today. And you expected to not go to school. And all of a sudden you went to go to school. And it's your expectations change everything. Let me explain it this way. Because your happiness or your disappointment has a lot to do with expectations. Let's say I go to a restaurant and it's called McDonald's. And I go and I order and out they come in a paper bag and I order a dollar cheeseburger and an order of fries and a Coke. And all of a sudden, 30 seconds later, I don't know how they went out and cut that meat up so fast and cooked it so fast, but 30 seconds later, plop, here inside of a bag is a little tiny thin cheeseburger and an order of fries, and then there's a little paper cup. Am I okay, I'm fine. That's what I came here to get. That's what I got. Now, I go to another restaurant. I go to a $100 a plate restaurant. I go to downtown Seattle where all the athletes and the millionaires and stuff go, and I've heard of these places. It's somewhere like a unicorn. I've never seen one. A $100 a plate thing. I'm very funny tonight. I wish you would understand how funny I am. And I expect you to laugh at my jokes. But I go to this $100 a plate thing, and I get in there, and I go down, and I'm all dressed up right, and I go down, and I order. And I sit down and get this order, and I'm expecting 7-course, and the fancy napkins are all folded, all good. You don't even want to use them. They're so folded, so pretty. Walks up, plop, little bag, little tiny hamburger, bunch of French fries, plop, paper cup, full of Coke. How do I feel? How much are they going to get tipped? Why? I'm fine with a cheeseburger. I'm fine with French fries, except for when I'm paying $100 a plate, I'm not fine with it because I have different expectations. You follow? So the same meal would make me fine and happy over here because I'm starving and I'm eating it and I've got a little cheeseburger. Over here, because of my expectations, I can get very mad because the expectations are not what I expected. And a lot of expectations in life, a lot of life's happiness is determined by expectations. That's why so many people, they've got this fantasy mind that this earth is supposed to be so incredible, and they get so bitter at God because life didn't work out all wonderful because they had expectations of they read too many, they watched too many movies and read too many books besides the book. And so their expectations about, they thought they were always going to be healthy, they thought that they'd never have problems, they thought everybody always loved them. And people, your expectations determine a lot about it. For certain things, we expect blessings and good things. If I go to a $100 plate restaurant, I expect a meal. I expect a good meal. Okay? If I pay $100,000 for a car, what am I expecting when I get in that car? Let's say I go and the guy says, you know what, I guarantee you'll be happy. Give me $100,000. I will give you a car that'll, you won't believe it. I give him $100,000. All of a sudden he pulls up in a Geo Metro. Well, I'm expecting, you know, at least a nice Beamer or, you know, yeah, man, I want a Lamborghini or something, but for $100,000 I can buy a house. That's what I'm expecting. See, when you pay, if I paid $100,000 for a car, I'd expect a real nice car. So you do certain things, you have good expectations. You work real hard, you expect this. You do the right thing, you expect this. And so for some things, certain things, you expect blessing and good things. Sometimes we don't know what to expect. Okay, in life, sometimes you have no idea. You ever been to a restaurant you've never been to and thought, I hope this is good. Somebody goes on a blind date, which isn't very wise. And you don't know what to expect. You don't, that's just normal. There's 1,000 things you could say, I think I know what's going to happen, but I don't know what the expectation is. If I walked up and I said, all right, you know, I got a strong stomach, punch me in the stomach. I think you're not going to hurt me, but I don't really know for sure. People thought the Seahawks were going to win today. But they didn't know that. And they were, if they knew they were going to win, they were disappointed. Why? They expected something. And so sometimes you expect good things for certain good situations. Sometimes you don't know what to expect. You don't really know what's going to come up. You don't know really what to expect in life. And sometimes you should expect bad. Okay? If I walk up to a burner and I say, I'm going to put my hand in that burner, what should I expect to happen? I should expect to burn my hand and be in pain. That's the expectation. So in certain things in life, you expect good. In certain things in life, you expect bad. In certain things, you don't know what to expect. Well, the Bible is full of telling you, here's your expected end. If you do this, this is going to happen. And it always will happen. The only thing you don't know is when. But you know what's going to happen. So I just want to give you some expectations of the Bible. And the Lord tells us what to expect. In many things, they're good. In some things, they're bad. But we always can have that. And the principle is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 6, actually. And Galatians 6. Famous verses. You can turn there if you like, but you've heard them before. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You shall reap it. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth of the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let me read it again, verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. We shall reap, we faint not, verse 9. All right, ready? Here we go. What's our cord hooked to us? What's our expectation? If we sow our life to the flesh, to what we want to do, to the pleasures of the flesh, what is our expectation? What's it say right there? Corruption. Okay, I got a cord hooked to me. And if I sow to the flesh and do what I want to do, corruption. Death is what part of corruption? emptiness, badness, failure. That's what we should expect. What should we expect if we sow to the Spirit? Life everlasting. That's your expected end. Isn't that simple? That's what you shall reap. Doesn't say when, in due season. We don't know what due season is. It varies sometimes from the next day to eternity. We don't know. There's a lot in that. There's a lot of things about time in the Bible and what due season is. Sometimes in heaven, and sometimes it's the next day. Sometimes it's right that day. But you're gonna expect it. That's the principle. You get expected ends, and God says you're gonna do that. So, let me give you a couple statements here. Sowing with expectation equals faith. Okay, that's what faith is. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sowing, when you make decisions and you say, I'm getting an expected end, I know it's coming, it's a good thing, that is called faith. Okay? And so you do the right thing and you expect God to do the thing that he promised to do. You say, I have faith in God. I'm going to tithe. I expect God to provide my needs. That's faith. Okay, I do this thing right. I do this thing according to the Bible, and so when you sow and expect God to come through with what He said, that's called faith, and it makes you do things. Doing the wrong thing and expecting a good end is called tempting God. Okay, if you do the wrong thing and say, but you know, it'll turn out okay, it should be fine, it's called tempting God. What's the illustration of that in the Bible? Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, jump off this temple, and the angels will bear you up. And he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If I jump off the temple, I should not expect God to give me a good ending. That's tempting God. I want you to understand that, because right there is life changing. If you do the wrong thing and you expect a good end, you're tempting God. And a lot of people kind of shrug their shoulders at the start of a bad process and say, well, you know, God's merciful, it'll be fine. No. God might forgive you, but you're still going to get an expected end. I'm going to go get drunk, I'm going to go drive and see what happens and trust God to get me out of this. Or you might get a ticket, or you might kill somebody, you might get killed yourself. You should expect bad, though. And you should expect that. And don't tempt God to be nice to you when you've been foolish. That's tempting God. And so you got to make sure that you don't do that. And you understand, you got to want to do one of the two things. So, having said all that, let me just give you some expectations in the Bible that we should expect. Just random set of expectations. And some of them apply to you, some of them won't. But just some expectations. Number one, do not expect to not pray and pray in doubt and expect your prayers to be answered. Do not expect to not pray and pray in doubt and expect your prayers to be answered. Let's look at what James tells us about that. James and chapter 1. I never forget. Sometimes I'm so irreverent. And I was talking to someone and I was... And I said, and they were struggling and everything in their life pointed back to the prayer life. And I said, how's your prayer life? They said, well, I just really don't pray at all. I said, well, why would you expect God to bless you? Yeah. And they said, well, it just doesn't work for me. I said, you don't pray. I said, do you pray or have you prayed? Not really. I started laughing at him. I said, you haven't tried it, and you won't do it because you don't think it's going to work, but you don't do it. I said, I never meet somebody who really prays and says it doesn't work. People who doubt prayer are people who don't pray. That's what the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. It says, James, did I say James chapter 1? It's James chapter 4. And James chapter 4, verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. These are all signs you're not praying. You fight and war, and you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Do not pray. He that prayeth in doubt should expect to receive nothing from the Lord. Let not that man, the words is, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's what God says. So if you do not pray, or if you pray, go a little farther here, It's in the same chapter. Let's see. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me see, James chapter 1, if I got to go back to there. Let me see here. There we go, James chapter 1. Verse 5, if any think you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven to the wind and tossed. Let not that man think she receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, what's the cord attached to you? Not praying or praying in doubt. Expect the thing that eventually hits you is not answered prayers. That's what it says. That's your expectation. You should expect that. Don't say, why isn't God answering my prayers? You didn't pray. The only prayer you did is thank God for your food and, oh God, why did this happen to me? That was your prayer life. You didn't ask God for anything. You didn't pray in faith, nothing wavering. And so don't expect answered prayers if you're not. Most people don't really pray. They don't ask for anything. If they do anything, they gripe or they just spend a little bit of time. So expect that. Number two, just some things. These are just, they're random. There's not a pattern to them, just a bunch of expectation. Number two, expect trials and attacks if you serve the Lord. Yeah. Expect trials and attacks if you serve the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. I find this so helpful to me. And so helpful. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as an evildoer. So he says, if you're going to serve the Lord, expect that. Trials, tribulation, hard times. And troubles from those things. Expect trials if you serve the Lord. It's all over the Bible. Don't be surprised at a strange trial which is to befall you. Can I say, why is this so important? Because somebody starts serving God and they listen to a TV preacher who told them, if you serve God, everything's going to go wonderful. They serve God and trials and afflictions comes as the Bible promises they will. And they say, oh no, God must really be mad at me. I don't understand this. And they're down and they get down in the trial. And all of a sudden they quit on God because their expectations of everything going wonderful weren't met. Why? They had the wrong expectations. Do you think Satan just leaves you alone and says, okay, you're serving God now. Have a good life. Now you're the target. Now you're going to get attacked more. I find when somebody really starts doing something for God and having victory, I almost duck for them thinking, oh, it's coming. Don't be surprised. Expect a fiery trial, which is to try you. Expect attacks. Why? It's real simple. If I'm standing there and I got my stomach tight and expecting somebody to hit me in the stomach, I'm ready for it. If I'm not expecting to be hit in the stomach, it gets soft. If somebody walks up and says, I'm going to knock you over, I can go. Go ahead and try it. If I'm just standing there, and when you expect to get attacked by Satan, you expect the trials that come in God's blessing, you expect, and by the way, just read your Bible. Look at the Thessalonians. Look at them in 1 Peter, all the Christians there. Look at the Acts, the apostles. Look at Jesus' life and the disciples. Look at the Christians and the ones who serve God, how often they're beaten and thrown in jail and lied about and criticized. Expect it, and it won't bother you as much. You'll be just fine. It'll be just fine. And by the way, this expectation thing is so ridiculous because it gets so frustrating. People sit here and say, God didn't do this for me. God didn't do this for me. And they weren't doing anything for God. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. You were living in the flesh and you reaped of the flesh. You had bad things happen to you. You made bad decisions. I love it. Why did God allow me to get pregnant and have my boyfriend leave me? You're sleeping with a loser. Let me just be blunt. What do you expect? There's this stuff called biology. And what? You expect it because you made a bad decision with a guy. You expect all of a sudden God to make him Prince Charming. No, you make a bad decision, and then they get mad at God because their life's so messed up and they're so poor and they're stuck in the, and living in the projects and this and that. That's what you chose. That's what you reaped. You got exactly. You pushed the button for Coca-Cola, and a Coca-Cola came out, and you said, why did this machine give me Coca-Cola? You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You ordered the hamburger, and you got a hamburger. And you said, I wanted the steak. They said, you paid $1.99. All you're going to get is a rat steak. And so people get mad at God. It's so strange because they got their expected end. You should expect those things. Next. Oh, boy. Let's see how many are mad already. It's going to get worse. Don't expect to be sexual immoral and the Lord to bless. Let's look at Ephesians. What's God going to give you if you're sexually immoral? He's going to tell you. And it ain't pretty. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So we read that in Sunday school. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no harm, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Okay? If you're disobedient to God and immoral, Bible says if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you commit adultery in your heart. Don't expect to look with lust and God not to bring his wrath upon you. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Don't expect to be sexually immoral and God to not bring his wrath upon you. He says he's going to. What he says. So expect it. That's the cord attached to you. I've been sexually immoral in my thoughts or my mind or physically or whatever, and all of a sudden you go here and say, I know it's coming because I know what I did. You might as well just say, I know it's coming because it's coming. That's the expected end. That's the cord that's attached to you. Next. Don't expect to mistreat your family and have the Lord bless. Boy, I've seen this one before. 1 Peter says this and some other passages. But don't expect to mistreat your family and expect the Lord to bless. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, I've seen this. I've seen people who love the church and are involved in the church, but they're nasty bears at home. I want to say, expect your prayers to be hindered. Expect God not to bless you. You're mistreating the ones you're supposed to be treating the most kindly and wonderfully. Don't treat the people nice at church and the people at home bad. That's hypocrisy and it's wicked. Treat them both kind. Give them the same grace you would as a new convert. Be kind. Don't expect to be wrong at home and God to bless you. Be good at home. Be kind at home. Be loving at home. And then have a good expectation. Next, expect your labor in the ministry to be blessed. Let's look at Hebrews. Oh, this is such an important one for you. I want you to get. And this is something that we've got to remember all the time. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Expect your labor in the ministry to bless. You know why? Because there are a lot of times when you will do something for the Lord. Listen, a lot of you have started talking to people about the Lord. You've been helped in the church and you've done things for God and you have not yet received any blessing from it. But wait a minute, there is an expected end. And God is going to remember that. Look how he phrased this. It's beautiful. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He says, God's not going to forget your labor of love. God is not a righteous. He's not going to do that. Expect if you go witnessing, though, if nobody gets saved, expect to be rewarded somehow. God's not going to forget what you did for him. He's not unrighteous to forget your... Can you imagine? Let's say you go to work for the next 2 weeks and all of a sudden paycheck comes and all of a sudden your boss says, you know what? I just didn't think it was right. I paid you. How would that go over? That's unrighteous. And God would be unrighteous if you labored for him. He's the one who said a laborer is worthy of his hire. If you and I do the right thing, you're going to reap in due season. Just keep on doing God's work, and God will not forget. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It's so encouraging to know that, you know what? I got some cord behind me. I'm not seeing a lot of fruit, but I'm helping, I'm working for God. You know what? There's a cord. I have an expected end coming. I know God's not forgotten what I've done for him. You have an expected end coming towards you. And so look forward to that and praise God for that. That's what you expect. Next, we'll do Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs and do a couple out of Proverbs. Proverbs, by the way, is full of expected ends. And we're not going to certainly touch the... just scratch the surface here. But don't expect to live foolishly. Don't live foolishly and expect wisdom's blessings. I see this so often to people. Don't live foolishly and expect the blessings that wisdom promises. See, there's a whole bunch of promises of wisdom. They're wonderful. Read the book of Proverbs. You'll find out all these blessings that wisdom promises you. But the Bible says, do not live foolishly and expect wisdom to do that. Wisdom will laugh at you and mock you. Let's do verse 23 through 31. Turn you at my reproof, wisdom speaking, and I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Wisdom won't. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turn in the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the foolish shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and be quiet from the fear of the Lord. I always am amazed when people live a life of foolish decisions and expect good results. That's hilarious to me. You ever seen that person? You ever seen the person who's shocked at what happened to them and you're not? You ever see that? And you say, I can't believe this happened to me. You say, you can't? Really? And they think they're unlucky. And they think somebody's trying to get them. They think the cops are bad. They think everybody's against them. And they think they're just had bad luck and God's trying to get them. And you're going, I love this with finances. I love when someone's bad with their money and expects to have money. I just love that. It cracks me up. You go out, you overspend, you buy all this stuff. You get a little bit of money and finally, and boy, it's gone. And add to it the credit card before in the day, because you know you're going to make more money now. More money is going to come in with your new job. I love it. And then all of a sudden, your credit card's maxed out, and guess what happens? You get laid off. You say, why did God do this to me? No, Visa did it to you. You did it through Visa to yourself. You live foolishly. Don't expect all the blessings. If you're good with your money, there's a bunch of blessings, the Bible says, including spiritual ones. You're good with your money. But if you're not good with your money, the expected end is you are in financial trouble and a borrower is servant to the lender. And that's hard, being in debt. It's not fun. It's hard getting evicted. It's hard when they take your car back. It's hard when the creditor's calling you all the time. And so expect that if you're not making wise decisions in your life. If you are not wise in how you choose a spouse, don't expect a good marriage. That's the expected end. You don't expect the blessings. Boy, a wife, finding a good wife, share price is far above rubies. She's very rare. The wisdom you need in the process to even get a woman like that to marry you is so cautious and careful and wise and careful that if you don't follow that process, you should, by the way, if you go through that process, you should expect a good marriage. And if you say, oh, she's cute, me cute, oh, don't expect 50 years of bliss. And don't expect that. Don't expect the blessings of wisdom when you're not being living wise. Oh, let's see. What do you want to get into? Expect your faithfulness to be blessed. Proverbs 28. Expect your faithfulness to be blessed. What a beautiful verse. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh hasty rich shall not be innocent. Are you, you know, if you just stay in church, stay in the will of God, read your Bible faithfully, don't fall away from God, don't be up and down, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. That's your expected end. That's the cord attached to you. And I can testify that when you stay faithful to God, blessings eventually come. God's good in that, and that's your expected end. If you're faithful, and can I tell you this? Inconsistent, unfaithful, erratic, still not finding my word, inconsistent people, they don't get blessed in the same way as somebody who's steady. And I mean, sometimes they're really high spiritually. Those people, just being faithful would have been them a lot more good. The bad they do cuts off the expectation of good. Now they're expecting bad. And really, years and years. Somebody once said, you don't measure Christianity in years, you measure it in decades. And faithfulness. Don't expect that. Well, let's see. Expect to be blessed if you live in the Scripture. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. If you live in the Word of God, if this is your life, expect to be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be as a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Live in this book, and you are bringing an expected end of blessings in your life. All right, kids, you ready? How we doing? How are kids doing? All right, good. Kids, don't expect to disobey your parents and good things to happen to you. They aren't doing good anymore. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? Next verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thy days may be long upon the earth. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Don't expect to disobey your parents and dishonor your parents also. It's two different things. One's obeying them. One is giving them honor. Don't expect to disobey and dishonor your parents and expect things to go well with you. Your expectation is bad. That's the expectation. Don't expect to not go to church faithfully and be right spiritually. Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Again, Hebrews 10, 25, don't expect not to go to church faithfully. That's why as we get the world gets worse, you got to be in church every time the doors are open. So much the more, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching. And we can go through a lot. I'm not going to I'll do one more and I'll finish. Expect the Lord to lead your life. Let me start that again. Expect, if you let the Lord lead your life, him to lead your life well. Psalm 23. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Listen, if you give God the reins in your life, expect him to lead your life in a wonderful way. That's your expectation. So we've got all these expectations. We follow all them. We understand. And I want to say this, there's Bible promises on these things, and they're very clear, and you can find out exactly what God's promising to you and what you can expect. Here's what I think. If you just won't live in denial, you probably already know what to expect. Because most of the time, at least maybe I'm different, but most of the time when I'm doing wrong, I kind of know this is not going to end good. And I know most of the time when I do right, I have this peace that, you know what, I'm doing the right thing. This is going to be good. If you do not live in denial and let the devil come and lie to you and say, quit doing that, God's not rewarding you. But you just, you know what? I have a good expected end. I'm looking forward to the future. I've made some good decisions. I'm looking forward to see how God's going to bless in this. That's a way to live. Instead of, oh boy, I hope the Lord forgot about that. I'm going to do circles. Maybe the thing will be to follow me. No, don't live that way. You're going to have expected ends. They're promised. Make it so you know what's coming and you like what's coming. Let's just illustrate this as one last thing we're done. Let's illustrate with retirement. One person, very careful with their money, plans it well, invests in their 401k maybe. Maybe they go and pay off their house and does a bunch of things wisely with their money. When they get to retirement, they already know what's going to happen and they're looking forward to retirement. Do you know some other people who can't even think about retirement and they're not looking forward to getting old because they don't know how they're going to work and they know they're going to have to because they're on their 16th mortgage in their house and their house they owe four times more than it's worth because they keep blowing their money because they haven't saved anything. You know, did you know you can put more money in the bank than you take out? It's called savings. You know what that is? So if you put more in than you take out and you don't charge more, you have this thing called savings. It's a positive number. And when you have that, checks don't bounce. And you know what that is? Okay. And so the person is wise in retirement. They're looking forward to it. Or their expected end is coming and saying, oh no, I'm getting 70. And I'm going to be saying, welcome to Walmart for the next 10 years. And God bless him for keeping on working, but I'd rather have a good expected end. And by the way, eternity in heaven or hell is your expected end. That's your expected end. You don't think you're going to get surprised at where you go. Why am I going there? No. You're born again, you go there. You're not, you go there. That's your expected end. Not real complicated. You choose. Which expected end do you want? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, Lord, as we've looked at this in Jeremiah. What a great expected end they have if they would just stay faithful there in Babylon. Help us to get it. Help us to start living our life. If we have some bad expected ends coming, help us to change that right now and Lord, start reaping some good expected ends. And Lord, it catches up quick and pretty soon we're our expectation is only good. We didn't even get to read that verse, Lord. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to live in such a way where we expect the right thing. If we're doing something foolish, help us not to tempt you and expect us not to have that and expect you to be merciful all the time. Help us. Now, sometimes you are, Lord. You're just kind and merciful. But Lord, help us to plan our ends and enjoy them and know what's coming and have peace in it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I think the message is pretty clear.